We are going to look at two passages of Scripture, and we're going to go through them verse by verse, line by line, word by word. At some points, we're going to look into the original Greek. Indeed, some say, I am the original Greek. Now, some of you are not going to be able to keep up with me because this is going to be deep theology, not like some of the fluffy stuff you heard this morning and yesterday morning. If you have a Bible, turn to our first passage of Scripture, which is Luke chapter 5, beginning at the first verse. If you don't have a Bible, I'm sure there's a Christian sitting near you who will share theirs. Are you ready for our in-depth Bible study? Are you ready with the words to put on the screen? Yes, good. Okay, don't get too excited. Here's the first scripture. One day, as Jesus was standing by the Lake of Gennesaret. Now, I just want to pause there a moment. By the Lake of Gennesaret. In my Bible, the NIV, which stands for Nearly Infallible Version, by Lake of Gennesaret, there is a little X. When I first became a Christian and read that, I thought that little X was God's extra way of saying, I love you. It's not. Because if you look at the bottom of the page, there's another little X. And by that little X, it says, that is the Sea of Galilee. So already, in our intensive Bible study, we have discovered that the Lake of Gennesaret is actually the Sea of Galilee. Question. If the Lake of Gennesaret is actually the Sea of Galilee, why didn't they call it the Sea of Galilee in the first place? Good question, I hear you think. I have no idea. But anyway, one day as Jesus was standing by the Lake of Gennesaret, which we now know is the Sea of Galilee, the people were crowding round him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon Peter, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. So basically, Jesus was preaching by the side of the Sea of Galilee, otherwise known as the Lake of Gennesaret. Simon Peter and his brother and their friends, James and John, they'd just been fishing. They were washing their nets. They left their boats. This guy gets into their boat. They come back. He says, put out a little bit because I want to preach for your boat. They were so dumbfounded, they did what he said. When he had finished speaking, Jesus said to Simon Peter, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon Peter answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. Let's just pause there a moment by the nets. A little bit of background information. Simon Peter was a fisherman. The place where he did his job fishing was the Lake of Gennesaret, otherwise known as the Sea of Galilee. Jesus, on the other hand, was a carpenter's son. He learned to do things with wood, not with fish. Knowing this, let's read that passage again. When he had finished speaking, Jesus said to Simon Peter, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon Peter answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and we are professional fishermen and the place we do our job is this Sea of Galilee. But because you, a carpenter, say so, we'll let down the nets. I think Simon Peter was being sarcastic with Jesus. which is something most major theologians have missed. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon Peter's partners. Now, do you know that's exactly how Jesus works today? Do you know what Jesus did? He did a miracle of revelation, a miracle so that Simon Peter could see. And he did the miracle in a language that Simon Peter could understand. He didn't do a miracle with sheep because Simon Peter wasn't a shepherd. He didn't do a miracle with grapes because Simon Peter wasn't a vineyard owner. He did a miracle with fish because Simon Peter was a fisherman. Jesus is the great communicator. He spoke in a language Simon Peter could understand. And you know, up until this time, Simon Peter, he thought, he thought that Jesus was just another carpenter. He didn't understand who he was. Do you know, there's loads of people today who don't really get who Jesus is. Loads of people outside the church, and sometimes even people in the church, they dismiss him. They say, well, he's just a carpenter. He's just a historical figure. He's just someone that said a few nice things, and they miss it. And do you know what needs to happen? This is what's happened to some people this week when they became Christians. Jesus speaks in a language they can understand, and he opens their eyes, and suddenly they realize. You see, Simon Peter thought it was just another carpenter. And then when the miracle of the fish happens, he says, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." That's how it works. Let's move on. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon Peter's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. And Jesus says to Simon Peter, it's okay, don't be afraid, because not only have you met me now, not only do you see who I am now, because you realized that you'd been fishing all night, you'd been working all night, and you couldn't catch one flipping fish. But I tell you, in the middle of the day, to put your nets down, and your nets are breaking full of fish, you realize that I'm not who you thought I was. Now, don't be afraid, because not only have I revealed to you who I am, I'm revealing to you what your destiny is. I'm revealing to you what your life is for. I'm revealing to you what you're going to do. And he said, you're going to fish for people. You're going to be an evangelist, in other words. And do you know what Simon Peter and the guys did? They left their boats on the side of the Sea of Galilee. They left everything and they followed Jesus. And for the next 3 years, Simon Peter had a party. I mean, he had a front row seat for all the miracles. You know, the raising of Lazarus from the dead, my favorite miracle, the feeding of the 5,000. It's my favorite, not just because it involves food in vast quantities, but just the way Jesus did it was wonderful. Simon Peter had a front row seat at the confrontations with the Pharisees. He was there. He was there when Jesus spoke the Sermon on the Mount, and he thought, my goodness, I've left the old life behind. I've left the old life on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and now I'm living the new life. What nearly everyone thinks when they give their lives to Jesus, I've left the old life behind. And then after 3 years, it went horribly, horribly wrong. Jesus is having a supper with the disciples, and he tells them that he's going to be arrested and they're all going to run away. And then he's going to be crucified and he's going to die and rise from the dead. And Peter objects and he says, Jesus, they might all run away, but I won't desert you. And Jesus says to him, Peter, Peter, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. And then Jesus is arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. The others run away, but Peter follows at a distance. And he's standing outside the house of the high priest where Jesus is imprisoned. And he's warming his hands by the fire. And a maid says to him, wait a minute, I think I recognize you. Aren't you one of Jesus' disciples? And Simon Peter says, I don't know what you're talking about. Then someone says to him, wait a minute, your accent gives you away. It's a Galilean accent, same accent as Jesus. Are you sure you're not one of his friends? Never met the guy. Then they ask him a third time. And do you know what it says in the Bible? It says on the third time, he called down curses from heaven on himself. Do you know what that very likely means? Almost certainly what it means is this. It means he said this. I've told you once, I don't know him. I've told you twice, I've never met him. Watch my lips. I don't know anything about him. And if I'm lying, may God strike me dead now. You see, it wasn't a little white lie. It wasn't a little, can I see that photo again? I'm not sure. He really messed it up. And just at that point, the cock crowed. And Simon Peter wept bitterly because he realized he denied his friend. And before Simon Peter could see Jesus and put it right and say sorry, I don't know that he even knew how to say sorry. Simon, something even worse happened to him. Jesus went and died on him. He went and died on him. All Simon Peter's hopes and dreams were smashed. They were all nothing. So Simon Peter and the others, they're heartbroken. We turn to our second passage of Scripture, John chapter 21. John chapter 21. Jesus has just risen from the dead, but shh, don't tell the disciples. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. Now, in my Bible, by Sea of Galilee, there is a little A. And if you go to the bottom of the page, there's another little A. And by that, it says, that is the Sea of Tiberias. So the Lake of Gennesaret and the Sea of Tiberias and the Sea of Galilee are the same flipping water. I mean, how confusing is that? It's one bit of water. It's got three names. Well, I find that interesting anyway. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, probably because he was small, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. Now, I just want to pause a moment by the two other disciples. Is it just my sense of justice and injustice? Or does anyone else agree that it seems really harsh that everybody else gets a mention except the two other ones? You know, can you imagine what they must feel like? Look, Simon Peter, we get both his names. We get Thomas with his nickname, Didymus. We get Nathanael. We get his address from Cana in Galilee, in case we want to write him a letter. The sons of Zebedee and two other disciples. I mean, they listed everyone else. How hard is it to list the other two? Do you have any idea what this means? There's probably these two guys in heaven wandering round aimlessly. One day we will meet them and we will say, hello, who are you? And they will say, we're the two other ones. Scarred for life. It's tragic. Anyway, let's move on. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said, we'll go with you. Do you understand what's happening here? They've been away from their boats for 3 years. They come back. Jesus has died as far as they're concerned. He's dead because they didn't get it. They get their boats out. Simon Peter says, in a strop, in a sulk, I'm going back to the day job. I'm going fishing. And the others said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. This tells us something very important about Simon Peter, and that is this. Simon Peter was a rubbish fisherman. Rubbish, rubbish, rubbish. Twice in the Bible, we are told that this fisherman is fishing all night. And twice all night, he can't catch one flipping sardine. I don't know what you think of that, but for me, a fisherman who can't ever catch any fish is a rubbish fisherman. And I feel strongly on that point. We go back to our text. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. I love that. Do you know that was one of Jesus' favorite tricks, especially after the resurrection? Do you have any idea how many times they didn't recognize him? You know, I think after the resurrection, he went round with, false beard, dark glasses in a disguise. So he's standing there, they didn't recognize him. Do you know there was that time, it was hilarious, when Mary Magdalene, on Easter Sunday morning, she runs to the tomb and she's crying because she loves Jesus. She's, and she goes to the tomb, his grave, and the tomb, the gravestone has been rolled away and there's a hole. And she's, there's a hole, there's a hole. And the snot's going everywhere. And she goes in and she looks for his body. And she says, his body's gone. They've taken his body. Someone's stolen his body. Because all the grave clothes are there, but they're neatly piled up. Someone's taken his grave clothes off. And then she goes out and she's, And she suddenly bumps into the gardener. And she says, Mr. Gardener, tell me where they put his body. I tell you, the mascara's going everywhere. It's horrible. She says, Mr. Gardener, tell me where they put his body so I can take his body and look after it. And then the gardener says one word. He says, listen, this is good. He says, Mary. And she goes, and the next thing he says is, let go of me, Mary, let go. Because it wasn't the gardener at all. It was Jesus. He rose from the dead. Silly cow, she thought he was the gardener. Now, don't you sometimes wish that the book was a DVD? Don't you? This is one of the times I wish it was a DVD. Don't you wonder how he said Mary? I mean, how do you think he said Mary? I mean, did he say Mary? Or did he say Mary? Mm-hmm. Or did he say Mary? I don't know how he said Mary, but I put money on this. I put money that he said her name in the same way he'd always said her name. That's how she knew. That's how suddenly it was like, you're not the God. Someone else who mistook him. Then there was this time when these two disciples were walking on the road to Emmaus. And they were walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus. It says it in the Gospels. And they're downcast, it says. They're really sad. They're walking along. And suddenly, the resurrected Jesus materializes next to them, like in Star Trek, the early episodes. Bzzz. And he says, hello. Hello, good sirs. You look downcast. You look sad. What's the matter? And they say to him, where have you been the last 3 days? Haven't you heard? Don't you know? Jesus, who we thought was the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, he's dead. Really? Said Jesus. tell me more, tell me more. And they spent the whole of the rest of the journey to Emmaus telling Jesus he was dead. And he was trying to show them from the Old Testament scriptures that the Messiah had to die and rise from the dead, and they still didn't get it. And so they get to Emmaus, and Jesus is pretending to go on, and they say to him, well, you may as well come in for a cup of tea. You see, they were probably British disciples. And he goes in, and they get the tea, and then they're around the table, and there's a piece of bread, there's a bread, a loaf of bread. And then Jesus takes the bread, and he looks at them, and he breaks it. And there's something about the way he breaks it that they recognize, and they went, oh, oh, oh. And just at that point, Jesus disappears through a wall. And the two of them, they're left saying, I recognized him. Oh, no, I recognized him as well. I mean, my heart burned within me when he was talking. My heart burned within me as well. I don't think they recognized him at all. Do you know what I think? I think they were the two other disciples. That's what I think. That's why their names aren't in the flipping book, because they kept telling Jesus he was dead, the morons. You don't get this depth of teaching in your churches, I tell you. So anyway, early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. And I love this next bit. Listen. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? I mean, isn't that hysterical? I mean, listen, guys, don't you think he knew before he asked them whether they'd caught any fish or not? Of course he flipping knew. Do you know how he knew? I'll tell you how he knew. He just spent 3 years with Simon Peter. He knew he was a rubbish fisherman. So I think Jesus did it like this. I think Jesus said, friends, hello there, hello. Haven't you caught any fish? No, really? And you are professional fishermen? And the Sea of Galilee is where you do your job, and you've been fishing all night, not once. Oh dear. I think he was having a laugh. Listen. Then he said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. I mean, can you imagine Peter? Oh no, not another one. Not another one who thinks he knows how to do my job. Oh, we had this. Why does this keep happening? Guys, I'm fed up. I'm depressed. I just want to go home. I just want to go to bed. I've been fishing all night. We know there's no fish here. We haven't caught one all night. But I can't be bothered to argue with him. Let the nets down. Put them down. Then we'll bring them up. He'll see there's no fish. And then he'll leave us to our misery. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Just imagine, it was like this. Come on, guys, let's bring the nets up and go home. Deja vu. It was John who worked it out first. Listen to this. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. I mean, don't you love the arrogant way he calls himself the disciple whom Jesus loved? I mean, it's just really quite sweet, really, isn't it? Then John said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. Let's read that passage again. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he put his coat on and went swimming. The other disciples followed in the boat because they didn't want to get wet, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 meters. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. Just so that we understand what's going on here. When the boat was in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, Simon Peter puts his coat on, goes swimming, and swims to the shore. When the boat gets to the shore, Simon Peter gets back in the boat. Guys, this is the human founder of the church. No wonder we're in flipping trouble. So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Now, I just want to pause there a moment by the fish. If it was you, and you thought Jesus, your friend, who you loved, who you thought was the one that was going to change the world, you thought he died. And then you suddenly discover he's not dead, he's risen from the dead, and he's standing there, and he does the same miracle he did when you first met him 3 years earlier. What would your reaction be? Would it be, would it be, "Jesus, I love you. Every breath within me sings, I love you." Would it be, would you wet yourself? Would you fall down? Would you go, hallelujah? Guys, listen to me. At a time like that, somebody stopped to count the fish. One fish, two fish, three fish. 151, 152, 153. Do you know what I think? I think that was the two other disciples again. That's what I think. This is why their names aren't in the flipping book. It's for their own protection. Can you imagine if we knew their names, Fred and Bert, and we meet them in heaven and we say, "Hello, what are your names?" And they say, "I'm Fred and he's Bert." And we say, "You're Fred and Bert. You're the morons that kept telling Jesus he was dead. And what were you doing? Who cares how many fish there were? He just risen from the flipping dead. Why did you count the fish?" You see, listen. God loves the two other disciples. So he has given them secret fresh identities in heaven. That's why their names aren't in the book. You never got that in your church. We come into land with this. We come into land with this. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Now I tell you, and I mean this seriously, Jesus has just died a cruel, agonizing, slow death on the cross. He's just risen from the dead. And one of the first things he does is he cooks breakfast for his disciples. What a flipping savior. What an amazing God. What an amazing God. He cooks breakfast for the disciples. That's my savior. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. Now I finish with this. Do you know? This is called the resurrection breakfast. The last meal Jesus had with his disciples before the resurrection breakfast was a supper. It's called the Last Supper because it was the last supper that Jesus had with his disciples. And at the Last Supper, he took the bread and he broke it and he gave it to them. And he said, take and eat. This is my body, which is going to be broken for you. And at that time, they didn't understand what he was saying. But at this resurrection breakfast, he takes the bread, he breaks it, he gives it to them, and he doesn't have to say anything. They know. They get it. They get it. I finish with a question. Where are you in this story? Where are you in this story? Because this story is a lot more than Peter and John and Andrew and Nathaniel from Cana in Galilee and Thomas, also known as Didymus, and Mary Magdalene and two other disciples. It's more than a story about them. It's a story about you and me. Where are you in this story? Maybe you're like Peter. You feel like you've messed it up completely. You feel like you've messed it up and you don't know how to get back. You don't know how to say sorry. You don't know how to put it right. Maybe you feel like Peter in another way. Maybe you feel like Jesus has died on you. Everyone else seems to have met God here except me. I don't feel anything. Nothing happens to me. It may be that life sucks, that it's been really hard. It may be it feels like your prayers hit the ceiling and come down. And it's like you thought you knew him once, but like where are you, God? Where are you? You've died on me. If you're Peter in the first place and you feel you've let him down and there's no way back, do you know what? Jesus offers you the bread of forgiveness. And we're going to take that bread tomorrow morning in communion at 10 a.m. He offers you the bread of forgiveness, his body. If you feel like Peter, Jesus, you've died on me. I don't know where you are. Tonight, I want to pray. I believe Jesus wants to stand at the shore of your life and do the same miracle he did when you first met him, the same miracle of revelation, so that you know he's not dead, he's alive, and he's nearer to you than you think. Maybe you feel like the two other disciples, if you're honest. Do I have a name in heaven or am I just another one? Does he know my name? He seems to know everyone else's name, but does he know my name? If that's you tonight, Jesus wants to speak your name like he spoke Mary's name, in a way that you will understand that he knows you, he knows everything about you, and he speaks your name with love. And you know what? He knows your name. He'll never forget your name. Do you know why I know that? Because if he were to, all he has to do is look at his hands. Because the Bible says your name is written in the palm of his hand, where the nail marks are. Because he did it for you. If you were the only person in the world, those nail marks will forever be there for you. He did it. He has to look there and he sees your name and he wants to speak your name. It may be that tonight you feel like you're constantly going fishing all night and you can never catch anything. Everyone else has got stories. Oh, I invited my friend to youth group and they became a Christian. Oh, I said at school about what I believed and everyone was listening. And you just like, if an opportunity comes, your response is you just go, you just can't get the words out. You don't even know what to say. And you feel like you've been fishing all night and you've caught nothing. Well, if that's you, do you know what Jesus wants to do for you? He wants to fill you with his spirit and empower you and show you how to go fishing. He wants to show you. He wants to show you how to show God's love to other people. That's one of the things this is about. You see, the stories in this book, they're not just about these characters. They're about you and me. And one of the reasons I've done this study like I have is I just want you to see that we don't have to be afraid of the book. Read these stories and ask questions. Read these stories, this life.